Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. It's draft day. Draft night in Nashville coming up at 6. We'll be live at T-Line over in West Nashville. DVD going to be there as well. It'll be Big Joe, yours truly, and Derek Mason, our favorite wide receiver, joining us here on the program now. D-Mace, what's up?
Nothing much, man. Just sitting on my back patio with the television on, playing some nice relaxing music and talking to two of my favorite people.
I love it. I love it. I want to start with what I asked Big Joe. I understand if somebody trades up to 2 or 3, or you know, the Jets or Arizona decides they want to take Jeremiah Love. But if the Titans get on the clock at 4 and Love is still there and they pass on him for Stiles or Reese, or if Bailey's still there, whoever, does that change your trust in Mike Borgonzi and the job he's doing? Because he said we would take the best player available, and I think everybody would believe that Love would be the best player.
No, because if you look at it, you know, Sonny Styles is considered, you know, an elite player. Arvell Reese is considered an elite player. So I can't allow my personal bias to dictate whether I like the Titans pick, because if they're getting an impact player, I just hope that guy, whether it's Jeremiah Love or not, I hope that guy comes in and be an impact player. So would I be disappointed? Absolutely, I'll be disappointed, because I think he is the one guy, you know, throughout this draft that can come in and make an immediate impact, bar injury. But if you're just talking about if everybody's on a level playing ground and everybody's healthy, then I think he's the guy, even more so than Fernando Mendoza. I think he is the guy that's going to jumpstart your offense more than anybody right now. But I would be disappointed, but I would be upset or question the Titans and how they're moving forward.
You lived it both here and in Baltimore with a really effective run game. Obviously, what Eddie did here, you know, you guys probably aren't in the situation you were in if Eddie's not on the team and what he could do for Steve. But that also, in turn, you know, would open up the receiving lanes for you and for the other receivers. But you also saw what a game-changing pass rusher did for the team when Javon was drafted in 1999. So kind of explain to people the argument of if it were offense or if it were defense, as long as it's a playmaker, the Titans are going to be in good shape.
See, what we didn't see was, you know, Javon Curse before the Eddie George or before some of these other players that they added to the mix. We saw him after they had already had their established franchise quarterback, their franchise running back, their, you know, their offensive line, their franchise tackles. And then you add a guy like Curse, who was, he was the ingredient that we needed to put us over the top, because the defense became, they went from a good defense to a dominant defense because of what Javon Curse could do on the outside. But if we didn't have those pillars on the offense, it would have been even harder for Javon to come in. He probably would have still had the production, but the team wouldn't have been the same because the pieces on the other side were not complete. He was a guy that finished it all, and ultimately we saw why he was here, how dominant he was. But that was in conjunction with Steve McNair and obviously Eddie George.
Talking to our good man Derek Mason on the Chase the Big Joe Show. Derek, can a good running back make up for an average offensive line? I say yes, and I say if Love is billed as what he is, he can make that offensive line, which is in transition, can make them look a little bit better because he's that good. Would you agree with that?
Depending on what type of back you're looking at, if you're taking a, say, a mid-level, if you're talking about offensive linemen, a middle-of-the-ground NFL offensive line, which – is a, like you said, which is a good offense or a good offensive line. And if you take that same back, I think you're going to have some production. But then if you insert a guy like Jeremiah Love, he ends up making those offensive linemen that are good look even better, because his ability to be patient, his ability to, you know, go forward, his ability to, once he's hit, he can break off that tackle. So all these things that he has contribute to, you know, a average to good offensive line becoming a much better offensive line.
And the fact that we had your coach, Jeff Fisher, on 2 weeks ago talk about how much Eddie helped Steve. I mean, you got a Cam needs that guy, right? Out of the backfield. Uh-huh. He can dump off to him. He can hand off to him. I think Love is that guy. Derek, you played for a long time in the league. Jamal Lewis, Eddie George, you had some great running backs around you. You know the impact positively they can have on a young quarterback.
And I think that's what people are missing, because they're going by, you know, the analytics and, you know, well, that's not a prime position and you can't draft a running back because you got to end up paying him $52 million and he end up being the highest paid running back in the National Football League. I get all of that. But there's nothing like having a guy you can turn around and hand the ball off to, and you know he's going to get positive yards. You know he can control the game if he needs to. You know he can break the game wide open. It takes the pressure not only off the quarterback, which is the most important, but it takes pressure off the offensive coordinator. An offensive coordinator don't have to think. He can say, I got this guy in the backfield. I just need to get it to him. That's all I need to do. I don't need to try to find, oh, who do I? No, I'm going to give it to the guy behind it, because I know that guy is going to get the yardage we need. Why do you think, you know, the pass, our pass, offensive coordinators on this team were able to go out? Arthur Smith was able to go out and get a job. I'm not saying that he wasn't good, but Derrick Henry made his job a lot easier, because you didn't have to think about it. You turned the ball around, you handed it to him, and then he had Ben Jones, Taylor Lewan in the game, blocking for him. So that's an easy sort of way to approach a game, knowing that when all else fails, I could turn around and give it to the guy in the backfield.
That's a great point you make right there. How, you know, we always talk about, when did the game slow down for you? You know, I guess I'll ask you that. You came in the league in 97, you're out of Michigan State, great receiver, and now you're playing against the best of the best. There was a level that you had to rise up to, right? Just because the talent was so much better.
Yeah, and I think I understood what I was walking into, in a sense, and I think a lot of rookies do, because they've heard a lot of things. So I sort of kind of knew what I was walking into. But then once you get in there, it's just like, okay, it's even more than what was told of me, because the game is so much faster and these guys are so much bigger. And it wasn't until that second year when I had a full year to work out as a NFL player, because prior to that I was getting ready for the combine, I was doing all these drills, and I didn't have an opportunity, even though I thought I was working out and prepared myself. Maybe I was, but it wasn't until that second season where I knew exactly what I needed to do as a pro, both mentally and physically, to get myself ready for the next season. And it shows.
Derek Mason is with us. Could you tell when you were on the field and Eddie wasn't, or Ray Rice wasn't, or any of these great running backs? Like, did the offense change because that game-changing back was not on the field?
Oh, absolutely. It does, because now it takes, you know, that's one less person on the defensive side you got to worry about when that guy is not in the game, whether it's Eddie George, whether it was Ray Rice, Willis McGahee, Jamal Lewis, guys like that, guys that are seen as impact players. When they're off the field, things do tend to change. Now, it may change where now I have to pay more attention to the guys on the outside or the tight end, but that's one less problem we got to worry about when guys like Eddie George, Ray Rice, and I'm only talking about the guys that I played with, Willis McGahee, Jamal Lewis, those guys are off the field. It takes the pressure, a little bit of the pressure off the defense.
Yeah, 100%. D-Mace, we're excited about tonight. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll try and keep Big Joe in line, and but we're going to have a good time.
What? Before you go, who do you want?
I know
we'll talk.
I don't want you to keep Big Joe in line. I want Big Joe to be Big Joe.
I know we'll ask you tonight, but right now, who do you want to see in town tomorrow holding up a jersey? Which player? Which drafted player you want to see?
I'm all about love, man.
Attaboy, yes.
Give me the love.
All right, man.
We're all aboard the love train. D-Mace, we'll see you tonight.
All right, talk to you later, fellas.
That is Derek Mace. You can hear him starting at 3 o'clock on DVD, and then he's going to join us from 6 until the end of the first round for draft night in Nashville over at T-Line in West Nashville.
Another former NFL player saying taking
– They're all – I mean, because they're all see it.
Yeah. They know – I mean, and I value Derek's opinion at a high level. They know. They know the impact. Great question about you can sense it when Eddie's not in there, when a Ray Rice or a Jamal Lewis or Willis McGay, you sense that, right?
Boom. Yeah, 100%. There's something he said that I thought was – that, like, immediately bells went off in my head that is a perfect thing to look at. And then there's something that you have said.
Oh, my gosh.
That I think people need to pay attention to.
Stop.
We'll discuss that. Coming up next, we're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chase and Big Joe on draft day, 102.5 The Game.